Why couldn't the toilet paper cross the road?
This is going to be a bidet joke. Something about a bidet coming from you. Go on.
It got stuck in the crack. It was a crack joke.
Good job.
Welcome to Racing Home Podcast. You're joined by myself as Bobber and co-host and other host, Nick Agutter.
What's up, y'all? Fez audio quality may sound a little spotty here and there, but that's because he's currently up in Chicago hanging out with some family and getting ready for Rev Up, which is 1 week from today. No, sorry, less than a week from today. Today's Four Monday days. As of recording. Yeah.
4 days. 4 days from today. Yep. So pretty excited about that. Towed up to Chicago area back on Saturday morning. And the whole drive in 1 day was pretty uneventful.
Hold on. Fez. Why don't we try using your phone, like on speakerphone? That'll work. You just can't text.
I can't text, yeah. Oh, wait, thumbs up. That's cool. All right, I know that. Can you hold me or okay?
Is this doesn't do it for me. Oh, wait. I wonder what? Why does it do it for you and not for me? That's me an iPhone feature. Wait, do the heart thing.
Okay.
Yep, there it goes.
Yeah. That's right. Okay.
This is the only two that I know.
All right, we're getting sidetracked. All right, so just cut the part where I said the joke in the intro. So I towed up this past Saturday, left in the morning, did the whole drive roughly 14 hours with stops in 1 day. Was hoping to see the Northern Lights that were kind of happening in Chicago area, but didn't see that. I've heard you can only see it from a camera, but you can't see it with the naked eye, at least in Chicago.
I didn't know about the solar storm until someone had brought it up saying like, hey, there's a solar storm going on. And then I hopped on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and everyone was posting photos. I was like, oh shit. So I ran outside in my backyard and did not see anything. Absolutely couldn't tell any difference. But then I hopped onto the webcam from my father's cabin up in Minnesota. And on the webcam, you could actually see like hints of purple and green. It was actually pretty cool. Normally it is pitch black, so like I could actually see the Northern Lights through the webcam. But yeah, it was, you had to look through a camera. It was kind of uneventful if you were looking through your naked eye. You know, Asanga, so he and his fiance went out to Ray Roberts north of Dallas. And with his, he snapped a photo with his phone, couldn't tell anything, looks like a bunch of light pollution. But then his fiance apparently captured like a long exposure. And then you saw the hues of purple and green coming in. So if you're a photographer, it was kind of cool, I guess. But you had to know to look for it, and you had to go somewhere without light pollution.
Yeah, so I tried stopping. I was thinking about stopping maybe like 2 hours out of Chicago because I was in the boonies of Illinois. So I was like, maybe that would be the best spot to see it.
And middle of a cornfield?
Yeah, so I couldn't see. I saw purple hue. And I tried taking a photo while driving to see if I could see it from my phone, and I couldn't see it. So I was like, I'm just going to drive, so I don't really care. I was tired, dude. I was tired by the end of it.
We but do not condone photography while driving and tired at the same time.
Don't do that. I drove all the way out, a pretty uneventful drive, I would say. Pretty, like, the truck is big enough that I can stretch within the truck while driving. Also, was
yeah. Tell me about your new position that you found while driving,
dude. Okay, listen. It looks weird, but man, my hips felt so good because it's basically a birthing position.
It is. Yeah.
You drive with the steering wheel in your hands, and then you put both your legs up on the dash while the car truck is in cruise control, you know?
Yeah.
And you just kind of stretch that way, and like your legs go up and back, and like it just like really opens up your hips. It's very
airy, breathy, breathable.
But I don't want to say that, but it's I'm trying to find a politically correct way to say it, but I can't, so I'm just gonna skip over that part. It. So it's just good for your hips.
Were your feet like on the air vents? Cooling your stinky toes?
Like right below it.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, I didn't want my feet.
Because I imagine that that would actually feel pretty good coming out to the track, or like after doing a run, your feet are all hot and sweaty, taking your shoes off, taking your feet up onto the air vent and just letting them breathe.
But then the vent is blowing through your nasty feet into your face.
Yeah, just don't make sure recirculation is turned off. No, there's nothing more you could do.
But yeah, so I stopped in Vinita, Oklahoma for gas, right? And when I used to work for the railroad, I used to travel quite a bit through middle of nowhere. And I like a lot of those places kind of have blurred in my mind at this point. And whenever I randomly stop and I'm like recognize the place, I'm like, holy crap, like I've stayed at that hotel. I've been to that Walmart in like the middle of nowhere. It's always like a weird feeling. That same thing happened to me whenever we were driving to California for Laguna. And then I booked the hotel, which when I got there, I was like, wait, I've stayed at this hotel before when I was with the railroad. So, Vinita, Oklahoma, I have a story for that. I was in my training, project management training program, and the shift starts at 3 a.m. there. I get there, and the lead project manager there sends me out with a foreman to go ride some machines on the railroad track to see how they run it and whatnot. I was like, all right, cool, let's go. Mm-hmm. I went out there, walked the whole track with them. Not the actual racetrack, but a railroad track. As I'm coming back, I left my backpack in the foreman's truck. And he, like, brings it to me, and he goes, are you sure there's no bomb in here? I hear ticking coming out of this backpack. And I'm like, that's fucked up. Like, you don't know me. I'm technically your supervisor. You can't be racist to me. Like, it's old white dude, right? Yeah. So that was my first racist encounter at work, which made me really uncomfortable. Second, same night, and I was also on a pretty big cut around that time. So I went to Walmart across the street where I was staying at, and to go buy those low calorie frozen meals or whatnot.
Yeah.
And this guy was chasing me around or stalking me around Walmart, right? And I was like, this is very awkward. Like he keeps staring me down and like keeps chasing me around. And then eventually, as I'm checking out, he stops me and he's like, "Hey, man, where are you from? Like, what are you doing here? You look very familiar." You know, familiar, quote unquote. And he starts asking me questions about my life, like, what am I doing here? Where am I staying? And all that. And I was like, I don't feel, you know, like, kind of weird.
Yeah.
And I just, like, kind of cut him off. And I was like, listen, I got to go. I can't tell you. I'm here with the railroad. Usually when you tell people you're from the railroad, they, like, leave you alone because they're like, you know, those towns are run by the railroad. So.
Yeah.
It's okay. But so yeah, all those memories kind of came back when I stopped there to get gas and get the Taco Bell. Like, I stopped there for a second and I, like, took off and was like, I don't want to be here.
Yep. You don't need any more stories from that town.
Yeah. So that was my racist encounters with the railroad. Don't work for the railroad, man. It's a shit show there.
Bro, it's the backbone of America. No, that's the truckers. I don't know what railroads do anymore.
The railroads do most of the transportation, actually.
Yeah. Because the truckers are still handling, like, not last mile, but like, I mean, the area where the railroad does not serve. So,
yeah.
Like all the, over by us, we have a railway for shipping out all the Teslas. So all the Teslas from the Gigafactory, they come up, all the Model Ys and Cybertrucks. We see them driving by our home, basically the highway that goes by our home. And they get sent over by truck onto a rail yard and then shipped all over America.
Yeah, man.
Pretty dope.
So that's my trip. What are you driving up, Nick? Are you ready for rev up?
So today's Monday. Yeah, finally, I'm actually ready for a rev up. So the Focus is ready to go. I've already started packing it, put the wheels inside, tools inside, jack stands. And as far as like the Focus actually being ready, oil changes done, put the under tray back on. Oh, because of those Cobb hard pipes that I installed, the aluminum under tray wouldn't fit on anymore. It was actually making contact. So I had to spend like 2 hours dremeling the aluminum down and like clearancing the under tray to actually give it room to fit on to the bottom of the car. But got that on there. Really, this time it's just a game of more advanced Tetris, because what I realized is that the roll bar gets in the way of my typical packaging of the Focus. So like I have to completely like change where I put the wheels, and like I have to stand them up now instead of laying them down, which means that I can't like fit my helmet in where it normally would sit in the barrel of the wheel. Mm-hmm. So I'm realizing that the roll bar is more of a nuisance than I thought it would be, but it should work out. Oh, I got my harness installed.
Yes.
So the 6-point harness. It feels really good. I'm actually really excited to look forward to driving with it. Fits nice and snug, and then I got my Hans device strapped to the helmet, so that's good to go. I ended up going with a next gen Hans device. Is it still a Hans device if it's not made by Hans?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's head and neck restraint.
Yes. But I have the next gen head and neck restraint, and then the, I'm going to butcher this name, Schroth. The Schroth 2-inch flexi 6-point harness. Dude, the webbing, it feels like butter. It's so silky smooth. It literally feels better than the OEM seatbelt.
Yeah.
Because I went over to Competition Motorsports to try out some different harnesses and feel them out. Mm-hmm. And while the Schroth was twice as expensive, it had like twice as many features. You could also make the lap change it from pull up to pull down. Sorry, mm-hmm. the other way. They come out of the box, pull down, but I could change it to being pull up. So there's tons of like great things. But what that meant is that I only bought one. I didn't have money to buy two harnesses, so only the driver's seat has one. Yeah. But all that means is that if I do have a passenger, I will not be wearing the Hans device, and I will be using the 3-point OEM seatbelt. So that way we're like equal levels of safety. I hate the idea of like me having my 6-point and the Hans device while my passenger doesn't.
So you'd rather you both die?
No, we wouldn't both die, but like I'd be using the OEM safety system. If I got into a front-end collision, I care. I want to live.
Yeah, no, just like use your Hans device and everything.
True. The only thing is like, I would hate the idea of like me, I don't know. I don't like hopping into a passenger into someone's car and having less safety equipment than the driver. Because I don't know if the driver is then going to like push harder.
Then don't sit with me.
Yeah. Easy. Well, you only have one 6-point?
Yeah, I only have one 6.2.
Well, I already don't sit with you.
You don't need to sit next to me for me to crash into you.
Wait, you're going to have your passenger seat?
That's right. I take it out for the events.
Competition. But you would put it in for the grip drift taxi sessions?
Yeah, it's just 4 bolts. I just put it in.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. We'll see. If it's too big of a deal to not use a 6-point, I'll just use it. Anyways, I have the option to use OEM or 6-point, which is really nice for daily driving as well.
Yeah.
What else got done? Oil change.
Rev up, sir. Ready.
Yeah, rev up. So today's Monday, and I got Zach's trailer from Dallas, so it's sitting over at my friend's place. I'll pick it up tomorrow, put the Focus on the trailer Wednesday, and then Thursday at lunchtime, Carol and I head up north. So we'll be driving up there. So from Austin, it's going to be about, I just pulled it up. It's like a 18-hour drive. So we're going to stop somewhere around St. Louis. That'll be about 12 hours camp, and then finish the drive on Friday. So we'll probably be in Michigan at Gingerman probably around like 2 p.m. in the afternoon Friday, pretty early.
Works, man. I have something to tell you, but I'll tell you offline. Because I'll share my plans for when I'm going to be there. I'll share right now. So basically, I'm also doing the same thing. I'm going to be stopping over at Jim Smith-Aline's. That's not his name, but we just call him Smith-Aline. At his place for a little bit. He's in South Bend. He picked up some tires for me. I ordered some new tires, and he had the tire machines. I will be swapping my tires off at his place, and then I'll be heading to Gingerman from there. So my plan is to have some lunch with him and then go from there. Then meet you
up at Rebel. So what time are you going to be at South Bend? So you'll be at South Bend Friday for lunch?
Probably, yeah. Around like 1 or 2.
Oh, okay. We'll play by ear. We'll see like where we're at exactly. Ooh. If we have some time, I don't know. I kind of want to go see like Michigan and stop by one of the parks over on the east side of the lake if we have time. We'll see. We'll play by ear.
So for Reva, my car is, I feel like it's ready, but I'm very nervous. I don't know why. I've been having like anxiety attacks because I have high expectations, but I'm like, the competition is so much more stiff. The same thing last time, right? Like last year, it's like, oh my God, I don't know if I'm going to be good enough. I don't know if I'm going to be good enough. And then I came in like blowing my goal out of the park. Like I came with a goal of 42 and I did almost a 38. So my goal for Rev Up is to do a sub 39 lap.
My goal is sub 40. I just want to be sub 40. It's either going to be in the morning session. Well, I take that back. Not the morning session of Saturday. It'll either be, I think, the last session on Saturday, like 5:30 p.m., or it'll be Sunday morning. Will be the two best opportunities of doing a sub 40. Because I will say, I cannot wait to hop off the podcast and actually like hop onto the sim, but I have not really been driving as much as I had been at this point last year, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
No, I take that back, because I was in Korea, so I really didn't do any kind of driving. But I'm trying to do that, like, enjoy as much as I can in the Tesla. But the Model 3, its traction control system is very invasive. So I have not really had really any comfortable practice of sliding the car around. And even like 3 weeks ago when I was at MSR Crescent, I was doing a lot of like tune troubleshooting and verification. So I wasn't really like just able to slide the car around as much as I normally would like have liked to. So I feel like I'm going to have a ton of rust to knock off when I get to Gingerman on Saturday. We'll see. But yeah, sub 40. Oh, did you hear Devin's and Eddie's Backseat Drivers podcast with Jamie?
No, I did not.
Bro, you're not a bro to them. Devin, if you're listening to this, Bez is not a true friend.
I'm sorry. I on the drive here, I was listening to...
Bro, you had 14 freaking hours in the car. You didn't listen to their like 45-minute podcast?
I was listening to Lizard Brains, another good spot, the good podcast that we
listened
to.
Pretty good, too. They are
I was good. Catching up on that one in their one lap, so we'll talk about one lap here in a little bit, too. But... Yep. Yes, I did not get a chance because I was listening to music and like finding new music and whatnot. I'm not a huge podcast listener, but you are right. I did mess up. I should have podcast. Eddie even like recommended it to me. He's like, because I asked like any podcast recommendations on my Instagram, and Eddie was like, Backseat Drivers podcast. Like, ah, oh, dang.
Especially the latest one with Jamie. That's a terrible. Well, anyway, so I bring it up because they were talking about like Jamie's future plans and future events he's going to. So he brought up going out to Rev Up, and he's bringing his Focus RS. So to my knowledge, it'll be Jamie and me, I think we'll be the only two people at Gingerman, or at least Rev Up, with a Focus RS. So he's the other competition to me. But what I am happy about is, like, at least I have someone else to kind of calibrate against. Because him and I have not been to the same track since Coda in 21, back when I got those two super lap battle posters on my back wall. Mm-hmm. So it'll be very interesting to see how him and I compare to each other. But that comparison now gives me anxiety of like, fuck, what if I'm like 5 seconds off what Jamie's at?
Yeah, dude, it's a huge thing. Like, Club TR is very close to each other, right? Like, I know they're all very close to each other. But it's the anxiety that just brings more anxiety, because it's like, if they're getting better and I don't get better, or if I get slower, what's going to happen?
Yeah. My biggest thing, suspension wise, my car, like, it's unchanged. Brake wise, should be doing better because I have new rotors and higher heat capacity brake pads, SRF brake fluid. I did the brake flush this past weekend. It's really just a matter of seeing if the tune actually makes the car faster and if I feel more comfortable in the seats and the lighter setup. Mm-hmm. That's your thing. If my car is lighter than his, I think it's lighter because I have the lighter seats and less stuff in the back. That's still street class legal. We'll see. I don't know. I'm talking to myself. I'm giving myself anxiety.
Yeah. No, it's definitely anxiety inducing. And especially because, like, the last track day I had when I was testing the car out, the car drove really well, but I did not push. And because I think there was just a mental block in my head, I was never in the kill mode, you know, quote unquote kill mode, because I wasn't doing time trials. I was just doing HPDE. I was at SBPA and had buddies doing time trials, and I also got sick. So I just felt like I was underdriving the car. So I don't know if the car is just good because I'm being underdriving it, so like any car would have been fine, or if like the car is actually good.
Let me put it this way. The last time that I personally had like push was Laguna back in October. So it's been a long, long time. So
the last time I did a push was my first track day after installing Nitrons. from her inertia lab. And it was an Apex event, and I was chasing a Mach 1 Mustang with high aero and slicks. And we were putting down exactly the same lap times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how, but we were. I had a passenger with me as well. So I was, like, pushing it. I did the same lap time as my fastest ever lap time at ECR with a passenger because I was chasing the crap. Like, I was sweating. Out of that Mustang.
Yeah.
I was literally sweating driving the car. And I had, like, kept asking him. I was like, hey, you good? You good? And he's like, yeah, dude, keep going. And I was like, that's awesome. All right. Like, that was the most fun I had to on the track for a while.
Well, sweet. Hopefully you can scare the living shit out of me. There's not going to be a taxi session on Saturday this time. It'll be Midwest Fest.
Yeah. You know what's another thing that kind of gives me anxiety? I made a social media post and with the Kendrick diss for all my Club CR competitors.
Oh, bro. Now you got to live up to it.
I did it as a joke, obviously. I didn't really mean it. Like, I had all my friends that I put on there, right?
Yeah.
And then it was like, I hate the way that you walk, or I hate the way that you dress, or something like that. Anyways, kind of like roasting him a little bit. And then now I'm like, what if I actually don't do well? Watch me not do well because of that.
It's fine. Saturday night, you and I could just have a couple beers and forget about the whole event.
You mean Sunday night?
No, Saturday night. I have to leave for Minnesota Sunday. Actually, Sunday. Sunday, I will probably only do the morning session, and then I have to hit the road to Minnesota.
Are you leaving your car at my sister's place?
Yes. So I will drive from Gingerman, drop off the car at your sister's place, probably also leave the, what else? Not the car itself. The thing to take the car on, the ramps. The race ramp and aluminum ramp. And then I'll tow the trailer up to Minnesota, and I'll leave it in Minnesota.
Okay.
Because then Monday, I have 3 to 4 different people I need to meet up with. And then Tuesday, we hotshot back to Texas. So in less than a week, we're going to be doing a lot of driving. It's going to be not that much fun. Okay, so speaking of going around the country, you're bringing up One Lap.
One Lap of America, that's right. So One Lap of America just concluded. Congratulations to Tom and Salil for getting third place, which is pretty exciting to see.
Okay.
And also PE Motorsports team, the Toyota PE Motorsports team. I was a part of them briefly. They got first in class for, I think, with the GR86 and the Supra.
So holy shit.
It's pretty great. I know they were fighting a lot of issues last year. I haven't touched base with them in this year of how the Supra went. But, they did pretty well for their class, and I think they got sixth overall, which is also pretty freaking good. I think we're listening to Tom and DJ's podcast, Lizard Brains, on that about that. It's so unpredictable that One Lap is just so unpredictable. Like the tire choice that you have, the weather, the track conditions, and everything is so unpredictable. Like you never know. You don't know if you're going to win. Come first. You can't come with a mindset of coming first, right?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that.
Interesting.
Which
it's a matter of luck. Okay, well, let me step back. Me, I define luck as the intersection of, there's a saying, the intersection of being prepared and opportunity meeting together. Like that's luck. So you need to be prepared to seize the moment when the opportunity presents itself. So for One Lap, in order to do well, you have to be a really good driver. Yes.
Can you hear that? But
say it again. Do it again. No, I don't hear anything.
Okay, that's my nephew screaming in the back. I don't know why, but...
No, I don't hear anything.
Sorry about that.
Okay, back to my brainwave.
Sorry.
So, where was I? Luck. Okay, so to do well in One Lap, in my opinion, never having done it myself, but outside looking in, it appears that you have to be a really good driver, good setup, but then that's just the being prepared portion. The opportunity presents itself by getting the dry session or the most dry session at all of the different tracks you go to. You could get
if you have 200 treadway tires. So, but if you have 300 treadway tires, you're looking for the opportunity for rain, because then you're going to do much better
that's
than everyone.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. So it is a matter of like being prepared and then having the opportunity that presents itself for the situation that you've now prepared for.
Yeah.
You're right. So like 300 treadwear, rain. 200 treadwear, dry. Those are your scenarios that you want. Maybe a steel bumper to handle all of the different tumbleweeds that apparently presented themselves while they were driving through Nebraska. Dude, there were some crazy-ass photos of tumbleweeds flying through the air more than I have ever seen in my 4 years of college at Texas Tech in Lubbock.
Yeah, no, I saw Chris Sullivan's photo of the tumbleweeds just, like, flying.
Yeah.
So, like, a bunch of them, and I was like, that's ridiculous. Like, imagine like party. Driving your GT3 or GT3 RS through that. Like, that sounds... Mm-hmm.
Make sure it's PPF'd on the front end.
Yeah, 100%.
Have you heard of Smoko Motorsports, by the way?
Yes, Smoko Motorsports, our good friend Morgan. He was also out there in his ZL1. Is it ZL1 or Camaro SS? I can't remember.
SS.
Okay, he has a Camaro SS with some Nine Lives Aero on there. Yeah, he was also out there. He did pretty well for his first time as well.
Yeah, so he ended up doing E4 in, I don't know what this class, SGT2-BB, a Street GT Big Boar or something like that. Anyways, P4 in his class, and then P14 overall with two people that I've never done before. So he did pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, considering it's the very first time ever to go out there and do it.
Yeah. I think we would be decent at it because of our experiences at all these different tracks with Grid Life.
I like the thought of that. But in what car? We would be decent, but in what car?
Before we get into that, Nick, I have a proposal. Can we please do One Lap of America sponsored by Racing Home Podcast next year?
You mean, okay, so do I have to pay for everything because I'm the one who's like posting all these podcasts?
50-50.
Okay, 50-50. in what car? Depends on the car.
Okay, so we have three options. I put the interior back in my car, or most of it, put a quieter exhaust, and make it more like street friendly.
Mm-hmm.
We do it in my car and compete in SGT1 small bore, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go against Toyota PE Motorsports team with their GR86. Or we go in your car, and I think it would be the same class. I don't know, because you're also
small bore,
but you have a turbo, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how those classes work. Yeah, I don't know how they work either, but I like the idea of using my car instead, because at least we could put more shit inside the car as like bag. We could have a spare set of tires in my car comfortably.
We are not allowed that much.
Wait, really?
I think you're allowed one, like you're allowed a spare if like you get a flat or something.
Oh, I thought you could like take whatever fits inside the car. I'm not sure. I have not looked into the rules.
I don't know either. I thought you were allowed like one spare or I guess whatever you could fit as in case if anything goes wrong.
Really? So you whatever tires you have to run the tires you drive on for the entire event.
Yes.
Holy fuck. Okay.
That's another right? Like I remember back in the day, Toyota PE Motorsports team, they ran an AO52 and they were ported by the end of it.
Oh.
So you gotta think about that too, right? The third option for the car is I've been wanting to buy a third car.
Mm-hmm. For a while. What car would you want to buy?
It's there's two options really at this point that I can reasonably afford by the end of the year. A G80 M3 M4 or M2, one of those three, or a C8 Corvette.
I would be more interested in the CA Corvette.
Yeah, we can definitely look into that.
The other car that I think would actually be decent, somewhat interesting to do, is the new Hyundai Ioniq 5N. Have you been seeing videos of that thing? Like, I know your face like is a little weird, but have you been seeing videos of it online of like the different people taking it out on track?
I don't want to drive a Hyundai.
I'm wearing a Hyundai shirt sponsored by Grid Life. They sponsor Grid Life. Anyways, it was just funny timing of that. The Ioniq 5N, like it is 641 horsepower, and even though it has a fake DCT, it actually is a lot of fun. And I have not heard anyone shit on it or like say bad things about it. Apparently, it does incredibly well and does very well for its weight class. It'd be something interesting. I'm not saying we should buy. I'm definitely not buying one. You're definitely not going to buy one. It just it seems like a decent car to be like driving around and be able to put laps in, and you don't have to worry about any kind of mechanical issue.
Well,
you have to worry about charging, but you don't have to worry about mechanical issues.
I mean, the second place car was a Tesla Model Plaid.
Mm-hmm. And well, this thing apparently plaid. Doing as well as Plaids on track. It can do the Nürburgring. It can do two full laps of the Nürburgring at full power with no brake fade, no power diminishing, two full laps at full tilt, and no diminishing power or performance.
So listening to Lizard Brains, they also said that these electric cars do have an advantage because the lap starts off with a standing start every time.
And that they have and the launch
Plaid, for example. Phenomenal. Yeah, exactly. So like the electric cars, they launch like hell, right?
Right.
So they make up 2-3 seconds right at the launch.
Yep.
That's a lot.
Yep.
By the end of the back straight, you've already made up 2-3 seconds, so that's you're ready to go.
And so it's all-wheel drive.
Yeah, maybe we take your Model 3.
You were saying three options. I was in back of my mind saying we have a fourth option. We could take the wife's Model 3.
Don't tell Carol.
I've already told her.
Of course, yeah. But yeah,
I was so like, we could take your Model 3. You just got to grab a little party box, throw it in to trick the ECU into allowing more wheel spin, wheel slip, and we just got to find superchargers, I guess, on the way. That's the part that'll suck. It's like,
I mean, the Plaid did it.
Yeah, I wonder how he did it. I guess he just he always went to the nearest supercharger just before going to the track, so he had like the highest charge possible.
Yeah, I mean, they probably charged the car at the hotel the night before. And I think that America is also trying to find tracks that are electric car friendly. So usually those tracks will have charging stations at
the track. Yeah, there's a whole electric car class. Now, the downside of using our Model 3 is like we'd be competing against Plaids and Performance. Like the car would be very underpowered for the class.
I don't think I care about that.
You just want to go and have fun.
I just want to go and have fun and try it out for the first time. Just yeah. To see. My goal will be top 10 overall, like just because I want to be top 10 overall.
Realistically, if we were to do this next year and we do not buy a new car, I honestly think my car would be the best for it.
The RS?
Yeah. We could launch it. Like, it has all-wheel drive, so rain isn't that big of a deal. If a slight advantage compared to real drive. It has all-wheel drive to launch, so we could launch and try to keep up with the EVs. And then...
we can put your aero back on there.
You can put the aero on. Yeah. Would that keep it in the same class? Probably.
I don't think the classes are aero limited. It's just sizes of engines. And it's like four quadrants that you kind of go into.
Yeah, put the aero back on and see how it does. I can put the stock seats back in so we have heated seats instead of Recaro fixed back racing.
Yeah. Dude, I'm so down.
The only thing is, I would not be able to do a grid life season. Is doing one lap worth not doing a grid life season?
It's 3,500, right?
For two people? Or per person?
Per car, I think.
Per car, so two people.
Yeah.
So 15... Oh, okay. So I could do like one, maybe two grid life races plus one lap.
Yeah, I'm not planning on doing a full season next year anyways. So this will be like my way of...
Yeah, I'm the same way. Let me see. The only thing for me is, like, what I already told you is, like, we're already planning going to China this time next year. So there's a very high likelihood where I might be in China during the week that one lap is happening. And, like, we are, for a fact, going to China, like, May 3rd? After May 1st, because May 1st is a big holiday in China, apparently. And so we want to go after that holiday. Yeah. So May 3rd is a Saturday. So we would head to China on May 3rd. So as long as before May, then I could go. Theoretically.
It's like end of April, first week of May.
One lap of America 2025. Is the schedule already out?
I doubt it. And they just finished 2024.
Who knows? I could be doing better at scheduling than Grid Life. Grid Life comes out pretty late compared to other race bodies.
I feel like they came out the same time.
Really? No way. One Life coming out 2 months or, well, I guess it'd be 5 months. Anyways, we can talk more about it once the schedule comes out.
And then, I guess I want my car to be there because I'm the most comfortable with it, obviously. And then second reason is my business, too, because I can advertise for the business. You know, Marisa Motorsports.
I thought it was sponsored by Raising a Podcast. What the fuck?
Both. Chill out.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Gosh. And then I get to go head-to-head directly with a company car, a Toyota car.
You still have your stock passenger seat, right? Can we put your stock passenger seat in? So, like, whoever's passenger is riding comfortably?
Yeah, I would put the carpet in, the headliner in, the back seats in.
You do all that for 1 week?
Yeah, I mean, I want the car to be quiet and easy to drive.
Yeah, that's true.
It's 6,000 miles, dude. I think. 5,000 or 6,000 miles.
Are we already in the same class?
Do what?
Ooh, I have an idea.
What?
We can put both of our cars to, like, one lap spec. And then, like, before going out to one lap, we go and, like, do a local track day and see which car we both drive each other's cars and see which car ends up having, like, the better lap time.
Better average time between both of us?
Yes. And we take that car.
Deal.
Carol, I'm going to one lap.
Yeah, I mean, or the third option is me buying a car, which, you know.
Fifth option, we fly out to Seattle and borrow Carl's GT4, steal his GT4, because he's not going to just let us take it. And we steal his GT4, and then we give it back to him a week later. We just need to clean out the tumbleweeds from the grill.
Yeah, but we'll get a PPF for him.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I think it's already PPF. It's golden. It's good.
There you go. We're good.
It's on Bridgestones.
Right. It's already on RA71 RSs.
Exactly.
Yeah, perfect.
Oh, we can go install some Nine Lives Racing aero onto it. He'll love that.
I don't think I want to install aero on a GT4. It already has aero.
Yeah. I was making more of a joke about Nine Lives. Anyways.
No comment.
I cut that part out of this podcast. it sounds like a fun time.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I were to go out there, I would not want care to be competitive. I mean, obviously, like, we're going to become competitive once we're there, but I don't know how the rules work. I don't know how the scoring works. The scoring is also, hey, look, thumbs up. Like, the scoring is also kind of weird. It's not based off of, like, your overall total time. It's based off of your placement for the day, and it's, like, 5 points per position that you are below or something like that.
Yeah. By the way, I think my car would demolish you in the drag strip, because there's also a drag strip on it.
In the past 3 years, they haven't done it, because it always rains.
Wait, but they did it this year. Good. 6 laps, 1 drag strip, and 2 skid pads.
It was raining, so they didn't do the drag strip this year.
The fuck? Smoko, you said in your post you did a drag strip. Okay.
Wait, did he?
In his post, he said he did.
I don't remember them talking about it on their podcast, the Lizard Brains podcast. Where was the drag strip at?
Oh, you know what? That was in the early one. Never mind. So probably, you're right. They probably did not do it. Let me see.
Yeah, I mean, last couple of years, it was supposed to be at Memphis 1 year or something like that. And Texas 1 year. I don't remember. But yeah, okay. It rained out.
Hmm.
Well, but yeah, nonetheless. Any start, you're still going to beat me. And I think your car is faster than mine, 100%.
We would try to think. How would we fairly compare our cars? Like, we could do lap times, yes. I guess, like, arguably, if, like, say my car is doing better than your car, average combined between the two of us, then theoretically, if we do a standing start, it'll only do even better. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say?
What is that?
Like, if we go and compare our cars with each other and we do, like, an average of, like, which car plus driver combination does better. If my Focus does better than your, what do you drive? Subaru.
86, GR 86.
Yeah, Subaru. If it does better, then it's only going to do even better because we'll have a standing start. So, like, if we try to like compare our cars and each other with a standing start, that's all automatically giving your car a disadvantage.
Yeah.
So, anyways, it'd be fun to go and try it out. We'll talk about this again in like 8 months.
Yeah. No, I mean, definitely excited about it. I want to do it. It's been on my bucket list to do at least once. And then, yeah, I think ideally.
You muted yourself. You, bro, I can't hear you. You.
Hello?
Now I can hear you.
I got a call from someone. I declined the call, and I guess it muted me.
Oh, weird.
So I had to unmute and mute back again. Anyways. Yeah, what I was saying was, like, I would ideally want to do it in a different car that's faster, perhaps.
Yeah.
And more comfortable.
Yes.
But, yeah. I mean,
if you want to go buy an M3, be my guest.
You know, wait till the end of the season. Well, maybe we'll see.
I will not complain about taking your M3 and me still paying 50-50. On the event, not the car. On the event.
No, you already said the car. It's okay. You can't take it back now. Carol, we're buying an M3.
We already have an M3.
The
Model 3.
The correct car. Yeah. Baby, that's all I have for today. Excited about Rev Up. Excited about Grid Life starting. Excited to meet all the homies again from Grid Life. Goals of sub 38. That's we're going to make it happen one way or another. Nick, you got to get sub 40 because you are faster. Your car is faster than mine this year, 100%.
Yeah, as long as there's no mechanical issues or anything that pops up, then it should feel pretty good. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna be one tired fuck after all this driving, but it'll be worth it. And then Carol will be there. Be seeing each other Saturday, Sunday. I'll be leaving early Sunday. And then be back for Midwest in June. Ooh, Mid-Ohio, I'm really looking forward to. I need to go start doing some laps on the sim.
Yeah, I wish I had a sim here.
Suck it.
I kind of do.
Oh, that's better than nothing.
I mean, my nephew has a little sim rig from with his Logitech stuff, but we don't have a computer here to play on. We have an Xbox. I installed Assetto on Xbox, but you can't download the tracks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Better than nothing.
Yep. Good talk. We had a good podcast. Excited to see you this weekend. And
100%.
How are we going, man?
All right.
Take care, guys.
Later, everyone. Talk to you soon-ish. Man, it's going to suck to edit also next podcast. Anyways, talk to y'all later. Bye.
So, should we make a podcast on outro? The track?
Oh, that too.
And an outro, yeah. Outro would be nice too.
Yeah. Outro. We should do an outro. Make a podcast like at the track?
Yeah. At the Airbnb on Saturday night or Friday night? Saturday night after the event. We can see how it's going, give like a people an update, a live update of what's going on and what's going on.
Saturday night we can. We could also do Monday night.
Next week. Can we do Sunday night when I'm driving back? So it's like racing home podcast. The whole intention of the podcast was to record podcasts while we're driving home.
Yeah, let's try doing a Sunday because, like, while you're driving back, I should also still be in the car driving. So we can do like a test play of it. Basically, call each other through Discord just the way we did. I can still tell Craig to record.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just be through our vehicles.
Yeah,
there he is. That might sound a little weird. We should do a practice. We should practice that.
We could practice on the way to
Gingerman. Yeah, let's practice on Friday heading over to Gingerman.
Cool.
That'd be good.
Sounds good, man.
Sweet. All right, well, I'm going to hop off, so we can start getting ready for bed.
I'm dead serious about one lap, by the way. Please do it with me.